This exclusive interview on Park Thoughts is brought to you by the Walt Disney World Resort in Florida. If you're looking to get away this winter, you can get a free Disney dining plan for everyone in your family if you book at least 4 days and 5 nights with a ticket package at select Disney moderate resorts. Visit www.parkthoughts.com/WDW to start booking your Walt Disney World Resort vacation today. Hi everyone, I'm Doug Siss, the owner of Park Thoughts, and today we're privileged to have Mr. Ed Hart, the head of the Kentucky Kingdom Redevelopment Group, with us. He's taken a few minutes out of his busy schedule to join us. Welcome, Ed. We're excited to have you with us.
Doug, it's a pleasure.
Thanks. Kentucky Kingdom was bought by you along with a group of investors in 1989. Kentucky Kingdom was sold in 1997 to Premier Parks, which later bought Six Flags, thus making Kentucky Kingdom the first Premier Park to receive the Six Flags brand. You received more than $70 million for the park, reportedly. What is your experience in the amusement industry beyond previously owning Kentucky Kingdom?
Let me correct the one thing for your listeners. We didn't so-called buy Kentucky Kingdom. The Kentucky Kingdom property was owned by the state of Kentucky. The Kentucky State Fair Board, which resides over a very, very large piece of property, which includes a big convention center, meeting halls. I believe it's the sixth or seventh largest convention facility in the country. That we leased the land from them. They owned all the property. And then we went on to add an additional 25 acres of private property, which we developed beginning in 1990. So Kentucky Kingdom, inside its fence line, was actually a combination of state-owned property, around 35 acres or so, and private-owned property of 25 acres. And so when Six Flags left the facility, the fairgrounds, with my help, bought the 25 acres that the state didn't already own. And in order to continue the redevelopment of the project, we're expecting to get a significant amount of public funding from the state. And I will become the operator of the facility. And under that arrangement, the state will own all the land and improvements, and I will simply operate the facility on a long-term lease. So I just wanted to clear that for your listeners. I know it's a little complicated, but Kentucky Kingdom is unlike a lot of facilities, and essentially the state is my partner as we embark upon this public-private partnership.
Thanks for clearing that up.
Now, you're welcome. Now, regarding your question, actually, Kentucky Kingdom was was the first project I ever got involved with in the theme park industry. In 1987, the park first opened, and it by a group of people that was essentially financed by the Bank of Canada. And those people came out of Texas, and they opened up a park and marketed it in 1987 as a Disneyland-type park, when in fact it was on 10 acres and really had only virtually children and family rides. So you can imagine that did not go down very well with the local population. When they showed up, they expected to see the Disneyland of the South, and in fact, it was a small children family park. So it promptly went bust. In 1989, 2 years after it went bust, I was contacted by the Bank of Canada. They were familiar with some of the turnaround projects I had undertaken in Louisville in a number of different areas, taking troubled properties and turning them around, and they asked if I would like to get involved. I had read all and seen all the various press clippings and the various TV coverage on the unsuccessful park, and my first response was, heck no, I'm not interested. But once I started to look at some of the materials they sent me, it sort of tickled my interest, and that's how I first got involved. And shortly thereafter, we were awarded the lease because of our reputation in town. People had known us. And that was my first involvement with theme park development. The first year in 1990, the park did 137,000 visitors. And when I sold it to Six Flags, we had grown it to over 1.3 million visitors by adding a bevy of new, exciting, world-class attractions and rides. After I sold it to Six Flags, then I embarked upon a similar redevelopment project in Hot Springs, Arkansas, when Governor Mike Huckabee, who was the governor at the time, called me and said, Ed, we understand you turned this park around in Louisville, Kentucky. How would you like to turn our park around, Magic Springs, which was known as Tragic Springs at the time? How would you like to turn around Magic Springs and do the same thing for us that you did for Louisville? We love a challenge. We had sold the park, so we put our team to work on developing that project. And I'm happy to say it, too, had very, very good success in the 8 years that we operated. And a couple of years ago, we sold that to Park, which is, as you know, a national theme park operator. So that's been really my experience in the theme park business. And if I could say one thing about theme park developments, it's all about the rides. to paraphrase, I guess it was maybe James Carville or somebody in the political field, it's the ride, stupid. So we've always kept that in mind, and we are purveyors of building ride parks, not entertainment parks, not show parks, ride parks. And we hope to do that once again when we finally open up Kentucky Kingdom.
Well, thanks for that, for just giving a really good description of the history, and we just have to wait and see where Magic Spring goes off to, since Park Management lost their operating lease license with CNL Management out of Florida. We'll have to see there how that works out. So
without patting ourselves on the back, because really the success of my parks is totally attributable to the great management teams that I've been fortunate enough to put together and have worked for me. So they deserve all the credit for Kentucky Kingdom and Magic Springs. But it is interesting to note, when our management teams have left the facilities, in two cases, a national operator, Six Flags, and then after that, Park, had difficulty sustaining our success. Mm-hmm.
And just to build on Six Flags, what are your and the group in general's views on what Six Flags did with the park after it was the operating was transferred? Do you feel it was treated as fairly as like their bigger parks, as Magic Mountain and Great Adventure?
Listen, I think as a practical reality, Six Flags has a lot of wonderful people working for it, no question about that. But as a practical reality on the business side, they ran into serious financial difficulties because they were over-leveraged. We all know they had too much debt. And I think they had a focus on their big parks, and understandably so, to get out of the hole. They were focusing on the parks in Texas, Atlanta, New Jersey, New England, Chicago, and that's in California. That's totally understandable. But yes, I think because of that, because of the financial pressure, they could not sustain a capital improvement program at the smaller parks like Kentucky Kingdom. And new rides are the lifeblood of any park. And if you stop making capital investors, you're going to suffer the consequences. And unfortunately, they went from a little over 1.4 million in attendance, which we realized in 1998, they dropped all the way down to just a little over 500,000. So they dropped 800,000 visitors, not because they didn't have good people at Six Flags, they just didn't have the money to reinvest in Kentucky Kingdom. So that was really, really unfortunate. But again, it's not a comment on the people that work there. It simply was an economic reality. They had to put their bucks where they can get the biggest bang, and that wasn't in the smaller parks.
Yeah, I remember visiting Kentucky Kingdom between my last time. I used to live in Louisville, and my last time I visited was in 2002 before I moved. And I revisited the park in 2005, and I noticed a significant change in just that those few years. The employees were fine, anything, but they had let the condition of buildings and such just deteriorate, and they weren't really keeping up. And it was just really sad to see a great park in a great city, great growing city, Louisville, still a very growing metropolitan area, and it was just sad to see that Six Flags was letting it go like that.
It was a real shame, but again, they had no money.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're going to fix up your group sales area, put a new ride in one of your bigger parks, that was an easy decision for them. They were trying to figure out a way out of the box, you know. And when we were introducing attractions for the first 8 years we operated, we were very proud of the ones we put in because they were all, you know, record-shattering rides, the first of their kind. Our Quake ride was the first from Vekoma, was the first of its kind in the world. T2, Terror to the Second Power, was the first suspended looping coaster in the United States from Vekoma. And Mile High Falls, our spill ride in 1994, was the tallest spill ride in the world at the time. Our Helevator, our giant drop ride, was the tallest drop ride in the world at the time. And of course, Chang was the largest stand-up roller coaster by B&M, one of the foremost, as you know, roller coaster manufacturers in the world. It was the tallest stand-up roller coaster. Even, I might say, I had a little chuckle because I have the greatest regard for Dick Kinzel and the group over at Cedar Point. But when Dick and I talked and I wanted to learn about their stand-up coaster, you can appreciate my satisfaction when he found out our coaster was going to be taller than his B&M stand-up coaster. So, you know, we were real proud of our history of rides and our reputation for a ride park. And it was very sad to see Kentucky Kingdom start that downward spiral.
Yeah, it's sad that three of those rides you named are totally gone now. And so let's flip the subject and turn from a kind of gloomy thing about Six Flags to more optimistic note with the park's redevelopment. So you have
We're very excited, and we're trying to perfect the public-private partnership. We hope the Kentucky legislature will weigh in. We have a request through the Fair Board because they're the ones leading the charge. It is their property. They asked me to evaluate what it would take to return Kentucky Kingdom to a first-class condition. I gave them that number, which was $50 million, and that included an expansion of the water park, it included a major new roller coaster, and it included refurbishing every ride at the park so when we open the doors, it will be like it's a totally new Kentucky Kingdom, fresh, clean, and all the things you would expect from a first-class operation. We're hoping to get that funding in January. We just can't push a button and start it, as you know, so it would open the following year in 2012. I've had a team of people at the park since this summer continuing to get things ready and evaluating what must be done for all the rides. We're investigating a new B&M roller coaster that we're very, very excited about. Of course, I can't give you the details for competitive reasons, but at some point I'll be happy, Doug, to share that with you and your listeners and viewers. We're pretty excited about it. We want to bring this back. We have a lot of support. I encourage your listeners to go to Kentucky Kingdom, that's one word, KentuckyKingdom.com, and they can find a lot more information about the redevelopment of Kentucky Kingdom on our website.
Well, great. That sums up a lot of it. So we'll ask you a few little details. We're just wondering about, obviously you just said there's a new B&M coaster on the way. Can't talk much about, so we won't ask anymore, but that's a huge thing that will, I'm sure our listeners and everyone will be talking about now, is that's a big detail into what guests will find. But will there be any other new rides and attractions guests will find in the park?
Yes, besides the B&M coaster that we're considering, yes, we intend to double the size of the water park.
Okay.
And that's pretty exciting because we have a pretty big water park to begin with, but we find, you know, we have a big local population. About 1.2 million people live within the metropolitan area of Louisville, and they've made it clear in times past our water park was very crowded. So we're going to build, several more slide towers, and we'll put in some additional major bodies of water. I don't want to, again, for competitive reasons, I don't want to, you know, talk too much in detail until we're ready to disclose that, but between the new coaster that replaced Chang, which was removed, and expanding the water park, I think we're going to have a lot to offer.
Great. It just sounds great. So another thing to ask is, why is the original sign not being where the current entrance is, not being included in the redevelopment? Just to clarify to the listeners.
I didn't get your question.
Oh, it's why is the original side of the park where the current entrance is, where guests entered, why is that not being included in the redevelopment?
Actually, one of the early discussions was to consolidate the park, but you might be the first to hear this. This may be breaking news. We have decided to keep the side of the park you're referring to, the original 10-12 acres of the park, that will still be an integral part of the new Kentucky Kingdom. However, we will move the front entrance to its own dedicated entrance, so you won't have to pay to get into the fairgrounds in order to get into the Kentucky Fair and Exposition Center, I should say. It's so much more than the fairgrounds. Your listeners would get the wrong idea. This is a state-of-the-art convention facility. So rather than having to pay, which is now $8 to get into the Kentucky Fair and Exposition Center and convention facilities, we'll have a large dedicated parking lot. Our thought now will be free parking, and that parking will be dedicated so you don't have to worry about all the traffic and congestion when there's other events at the Kentucky Fair and Exposition Center. So we will have a new entrance, but we will use all the property that previously took up Kentucky Kingdom. We need it.
That's absolutely great news to hear that you'll be offering free parking, because that was one of the big things that coming into the, even if you had a season pass, I remember when I had a season pass, we would kind of limit our visits to once or twice a week because of the, back then in 2001, it was $5 parking, but still at that time, in 2001, $5 was a lot of money. That's something you could have used inside the park to buy a shake or something. So that's just
great. We are all about, especially in these economic times, we're going to be all about value. Value for the family. That value will present itself, not only in free parking, that value would present itself, and you'll see this, in very, very competitively priced food. But not competitively priced with other theme parks, competitively priced with McDonald's and some of the fast food outlets. In other words, we want our season pass holders not to leave the park and go to McDonald's for their dollar drink. We want to be able to offer families reasonably priced food so that they stay in the park and enjoy themselves. And we expect to offer very, very attractive pricing on our season pass. We're gonna pack it with value for the family. We don't want our Kentucky residents to leave the state and go elsewhere. We want them to enjoy their theme park experience right here in Louisville, Kentucky. And we expect to get back all the folks we lost to Indianapolis, Nashville, Evansville, Cincinnati. We want to draw those 200,000-300,000 visitors back into Louisville, Kentucky.
You're just making me happier, and I have a smile on my face right now because it just makes me feel great that Kentucky Kingdom might be able to come back, and it will come back to its former glory that we saw in the 90s, and so it's just great to hear that. And one final question about the redevelopment here, dealing with facts and stuff. How many jobs do you expect to be generated, both part-time and full-time, by the park?
Yeah, there was an economic impact study done by the state, commissioned by the state and done by the state. Kentucky Kingdom will have somewhere between 60 to 100 full-time jobs, averaging $45,000 a position. In addition, we'll have about 710 seasonal employees at the outset, but this, which translates to about 250 full-time equivalent jobs when you extrapolate the seasonal job to a full-time job. But in addition, because of all the construction that will be undertaken at the park, and because of all the indirect and induced economic ripple effects, this economic impact study indicated that Kentucky Kingdom will be directly, indirectly responsible for over 900 jobs in the Commonwealth, which is pretty exciting because, we know how badly we have to lower those unemployment numbers. So that's going to be our contribution to getting that unemployment number down from 9% plus to where it should be, you know, in very, very low single digits. So we're excited about giving people an opportunity to work at Kentucky Kingdom.
That sounds great, and we hope that's definitely a big thing to have, that number of jobs to come back in this tough economy. And one final part here to ask about kind of a new age thing that didn't even exist back when you were operating the park. And we're seeing you already use Facebook and Twitter to reach out to potential guests. Do you think social media will be a critical part in attracting guests?
I think it's huge. You know, we're also in the movie business. I produced 10 feature films over the last 7 years, and theme parks, movies, any social marketing media is becoming so much more important than traditional print or electronic advertising or even outdoor boards and all. So no question about that. And the gentleman sitting with me, Marty Ernst, takes care of that social marketing for us. And, you know, he's on full time. So there's no question what you're doing, others like you are doing, is so important to getting the word out.
Yeah, thanks so much. And before we're going to wrap things up here, and before we sign off, would you like to say anything?
Well, just thanks for the opportunity to talk to your listeners and viewers. We will keep you guys, it'll be up to Marty Ernst to keep you up to speed and developments of what's happening. You guys are at the wave of you know, what's going on out there. So we're just happy to have an opportunity to speak to you all.
Well, thanks so much. So thanks once again for Ed for joining us. We greatly appreciate your time and taking time out of your busy schedule to speak with us today.
It's our pleasure, Doug. Thank you.
Thanks. You can find the Kentucky Kingdom Redevelopment Group on both Facebook and Twitter, and you can visit the group's website at www.kentuckykingdom.com. You can stay up to date with Park Thoughts on Twitter at Park Thoughts or on Facebook at facebook.com/ParkThoughts. As always, visit www.parkthoughts.com for more exclusive interviews, news, and reviews from around the world.